Good morning. I'm Linda Perry with WBAI News for Friday, April 11th, 2014. It's a cloudy day with a chance of rain after 3 p.m. Temperatures are mild, though, in the 60s. Showers are likely this evening. Tomorrow, on Saturday, it'll be sunny, temperatures in the 60s. Sunday, it's warm but cloudy.
We shall overcome.
The 50th anniversary of President Johnson's signing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act was celebrated this week. This was at the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin, Texas. LBJ's legacy is very much mixed in our cultural memory. On the one hand, his foreign policy legacy is forever tarnished as the president who dragged us full scale into the Vietnam War. On the other hand, there's his legacy as social reformer, the president who pushed through one piece of groundbreaking domestic legislation after another. It's that role, his role as president with the greatest accomplishments on the home front since FDR, that was in the minds of the audience at the LBJ Library. They came to hear America's first black president speak about LBJ's legacy, a half century after passage of sweeping civil rights legislation. Obama spoke of how Johnson grew up poor in rural Texas and how, in the Jim Crow South, that meant not challenging convention. During Johnson's first 20 years in Congress, he opposed every civil rights bill that came up for a vote.
He was chosen as a vice presidential nominee in part because of his affinity with and ability to deliver that Southern white vote. And at the beginning of the Kennedy administration, he shared with President Kennedy a caution towards racial controversy. But marchers kept marching. Four little girls were killed in a church. Bloody Sunday happened. The winds of change blew.
Obama said he pictures LBJ standing in the Oval Office, looking out the window, asking himself, what's the true purpose of his office? He said LBJ knew as the most powerful white politician from the South, he was in a unique position not only to challenge conventions, but to crush for good the structures of legal segregation.
That's what his presidency was for. That's where he meets his moment. And possessed with an iron will, possessed with those skills that he had honed so many years in Congress, pushed and supported by a movement of those willing to sacrifice everything for their own liberation, President Johnson fought for and argued and horse-traded and bullied and persuaded until ultimately he signed the Civil Rights Act into law. And he didn't stop there. Even though his advisors again told him to wait, again told him, let the dust settle. Let the country absorb this momentous decision. He shook them off. The meat in the coconut, as President Johnson would put it, was the Voting Rights Act. So he fought for and passed that as well. Immigration reform came shortly after, and then a Fair Housing Act, and then a health care law that opponents described as socialized medicine that would curtail America's freedom, but ultimately freed millions of seniors from the fear that illness could rob them of dignity and security in their golden years, which we now know today as Medicare.
Obama said LBJ understood that equality required more than the absence of oppression. It required the presence of economic opportunity. The government has a role to play in broadening prosperity for all who strive for it. The push for equality and liberty had opened doors of opportunity for millions of Americans, Obama said. He said they swung open for you, they swung open for me. That's why I'm standing here today, he said. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio has been in office for 100 days. Standing at a podium at Cooper Union, where many greats once stood, the new mayor reflected on his first 100 days in office. He said his administration is a product of movement politics, which believes in the city's progressive traditions.
Some people weren't quite sure what to make of our progressive agenda to reduce inequality and restore opportunity. But now they're starting to see. Because politics of the sort that we believe in doesn't measure success by poll numbers, but by action. We believe in grassroots, people-powered government.
The mayor has made strides in his first 100 days. There's the zero-tolerance policy to cut down on pedestrian fatalities, movement towards affordable housing, an effort to get Sandy Ra Building back on track, and pre-K and after-school programs, which start in the fall. But de Blasio's speech is memorable for what he left out and for who he brought back in. Bill Bratton as NYPD commissioner with his tactic of broken windows. This has NYPD going after minor offenses aggressively. Bratton's theory is that this will drive crime down, but it has many people worried. Glenn Martin is founder of Just Leadership USA, which works to cut the prison population and to reduce crime.
For a mayor who has billed himself as super progressive and really rode into office with a super progressive agenda, I was a little surprised at what was missing from the speech around criminal justice. And I was also equally surprised with what was included around criminal justice. So, you know, our goal as an agency locally is to continue to ensure that policing here in New York is fair, equitable, balanced, and not racially motivated, and not heavy-handed in communities of color and poor communities, which is where police tend to be most heavy-handed because those are the communities that have the least amount of resources to fight back. And to hear that a new commissioner, who I have really been trying to reserve judgment on, although if you look at his history here in New York, he really was the catalyst around the stop and frisk policies that we ended up with, that Bloomberg essentially took the scale that really damaged individuals' lives and communities here in New York in a very considerable way. But this idea that we're going back to the broken windows theory of policing is sort of the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, the idea that communities that are high in crime are now going to get this wave of police officers locking people up for low-level crimes. It's concerning.
It's peddlers. It's it's panhandlers on the subway. It's kids who might be drinking beer in public. It's people riding bikes on sidewalks. It's those people who are now being targeted. How is that now showing that the NYPD is trying to work more with the community?
Yeah, anyone who thinks that you can turn a community around and build community relationships by criminalizing behavior and by solving problems with handcuffs is just wrong. And you don't have to look any further than other communities that are more affluent here in New York City to see how wrong it is, because there are other communities where clearly other interventions are used to solve crime. And in a city that's supposed to be, super diverse, and where you have so many people who live together across racial and ethnic and religious diversity, we really need to be thinking more progressively about what are the measures we need to put in place to reduce crime in these communities, not arresting people for essentially trying to carve out a living by peddling. Or people who essentially are relegated to poverty and begging on our trains. I just think the response, you know, the idea that we deploy law enforcement as a response to public health issues and issues of poverty, you know, we should be ashamed of ourselves as a city in such a resource-rich city.
Glenn Martin is with Just Leadership USA, working on criminal justice issues. And finally, Stephen Colbert, host of the Colbert Report on Comedy Central, will join network television's Late Night Boys Club. He'll replace David Letterman when he retires in 2015. What did Colbert have to say about this on his own show last night?
There was some big news last week that slipped through my news crack, and it concerns someone I've admired for years and yet surprisingly is not me. I'm talking about David Letterman, who last Thursday night announced his retirement. And I am going to miss this good man. Dave has been on the air my entire adult life. Late Night debuted my first year in college. I learned more from watching Dave than I did from going to my classes. especially the ones I did not go to because I had stayed up until 1:30 watching Dave. This man has influenced every host who came after him and even a few who came before him. He's that good. And I gotta tell you, I do not envy whoever they try to put in that chair.
Colbert's contract with Comedy Central and Viacom expires in 2015, just about when Dave Letterman is retiring. Colbert signed a 5-year contract with CBS to host Late Night. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.